Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. What does it mean to live a life of simcha? Joy, happiness. When we talk about happiness, is this simply a feeling? Is it a state of being? How can we achieve a true sense of happiness? I think happiness is one of those things that everybody wants to achieve. We all want to be happy, but we don't even always know what that means. It's one of those things we could be chasing after. I just want to feel happy. I want to be happy. But how do we achieve that? Is it something that's up to us? Is it a decision that we make that whether or not we're going to be happy? Or is it a sort of an outcome, a feeling that really has more to do with things outside of us, circumstances that are going on in our lives? If life is going well, if I'm feeling good, if things are going in a positive direction in my life, then I'll feel happy. And if life is tough and things aren't going the way I was hoping and I'm not doing so well emotionally, then I can't be happy. Meaning, to what extent is happiness something that we have an ability to really create in our lives? Or is it really more outside of us, not really dependent on choices that we make? It just depends on circumstances in our lives that we really have no control over. All these questions really are very important because we are at a time of year, the month of Adar, which has the month of the holiday of Purim in it, where we are told, Mi shenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. When we enter this month, we are supposed to increase our simcha, our joy, our happiness. So at least from this, it sounds like there is an ability that we do have to increase our joy and happiness in life. And if that's the case, how can we go about doing that, especially if we possibly are in a place in life where life is tough? Things are difficult. Life isn't necessarily going that well right now. We're in a tough spot. Life is full of ups and downs. There's times where it's much easier to more naturally feel joy, happiness, to really enjoy the life that we have. And there's times where, because of the circumstances or an internal state that we find ourselves in, it can be much more challenging, much more difficult. And yet we are still told, increase simcha. So first of all, I think it's important for us to really understand, what is this simcha that we're supposed to increase? Is it our traditional understanding of happiness or joy? Or is there something more to it that we really need to understand in order to know how to go about increasing it? And then the second question would be, how can we go about increasing this state, this emotion, this feeling, this place we're supposed to be at of simcha? How can we actually proactively go about increasing this in our life this month at any time throughout our lives? When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk, Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, we are now entering the month of Adar. This is a month, a time of year, where there's a saying that's Mi shenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. As we enter this month of Adar, we increase our joy, our simcha, our joy. And I was thinking about this a lot because I think, first of all, there's the idea of we're increasing joy, so there's always a certain level of joy we're supposed to try to maintain. But I was trying to think about this month, and during this month is obviously the holiday of Purim, where we're celebrating that there was a nation that wanted to completely destroy us, Haman specifically, and here we are to tell the tale all these years later. We celebrate that we are still here. This has happened so many times in our history. And I was thinking, maybe that is some aspect of why we increase our joy, because we have these close calls on a national level, but on a personal level too. How many times does a person have a health scare or an almost accident or something really shakes us up? And all of a sudden, all the things that take us away from real joy in life, you know, the aggravations and frustrations and anger and all the things that could take us away from that, they don't matter so much anymore. And we really just experience the joy of being alive. And I don't know if that's exactly what the concept is, but I was trying to think of, you know, especially this month where this is the holiday that we are celebrating, our survival. We're here. We're alive. And there's an increase in joy just sometimes getting back to the basics. And there's so many things, I think, that can distract us from really feeling joy in our life. And we have to reprioritize sometimes just to get back to the basics to really experience true joy in life.
Right. Well, my take on it is it's an interesting concept. I mean, of course, we rejoice over every holiday. And as Purim approaches, there's something special about it, that it impacts the entire month, and that in preparation for the incredible joy of Purim, we already begin at the beginning of the month to gradually increase happiness. And I wonder whether maybe the happiness is also what saves us, so to speak. That, you know, that maybe that's what we need in order to keep us going in the challenging times, is to really work on being happy. And by the way, it says in Hebrew, marbin b'simcha, technically, grammatically, it actually means that we should increase simcha, happiness, for other people. Because it's because grammatically, it's something we do to other people, the way it's written. And so the way we become one, and the way we protect ourselves from terrible times, is by increasing happiness, which will obviously then increase happiness for each other, which will also increase unity amongst ourselves, and that will put us in the right space that will protect us from bad things.
So the obvious question to me is, when we're going through challenging times, that's a time where it is particularly difficult to try to increase our happiness. If anything, that's a time where we're really at a low, we're feeling depressed, we're feeling down, life is tough. So the fact that this is the specific time when things are tough and we're at a low, that's when we should increase our happiness. How do we go about doing that?
Well, what I think it means is that we would increase our happiness not just because we turn on some music or something. We increase our happiness because we're increasing our faith, that we trust and believe that Hashem has a plan, that everything that God has a plan, everything that happens to us is in some way an opportunity. Sometimes it will take till we get on the other side of life to understand why that was such an important opportunity. But I think the more we can adopt an attitude of positivity, an attitude of trust, and encourage each other and cause each other to feel greater joy, that gives us the strength to go on.
So the increasing our faith part, and the idea of attitude, so much of happiness, it is so true, is a matter of perspective. I think there's times where you can see a person can be in a really tough place of life, but they have the right attitude and there's faith, and they seem to have a certain sense of joy. And there's other times I've met people where life actually seems to be going pretty well for them, but their attitude towards life is just focusing on what's not going right, and therefore they're sort of sour and they're not really experiencing the joy. So that piece of attitude and faith is huge.
Well, that's what our sages tell us. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz me'irat shemayim. All is in the hands of Hashem, except for reverence. In other words, the real place of our choices is having that sense of reverence and awe for God. And so ultimately, the biggest choice in life is the choice of attitude. What happens, we don't have that much choice in what happens, especially when it happens. Or we don't have much choice in changing the people around us, but we can change the attitude within us, which will change the way we relate to the people around us and the situations and the events around us. And that's where we have to start. We have to start with trying to stay in a happy, positive, you know, trusting state of mind, and be, you know, keep that attitude up. Mm. Now, that's not easy. And I don't want listeners to think that it's easy for me either. But it's something that I think we all realize. It's a choice that we have. It's work we need to do. It's easy to get down, but we need to work to lift ourselves up and to give joy to each other. And especially, you know, when people are miserable they spread misery around them. And so we have a moral obligation to each other to try and increase, you know, joy within ourselves and within other people.
You know, you use two words that I think are very, very important, the word of choice and that it's work. Because I think a lot of times there's some part of us, even if we don't consciously realize it, that we think happiness is sort of a result of everything going well. And it's not the thing I necessarily have to do. It's just like a result of life being in a good place, things going the way I'm hoping and expecting and wanting, etc. But when you talk about choice and work, that's a different meaning. The problem with that first understanding of happiness is if life's not going my way and things are challenging and not going well, then I'm not going to be happy. But when you use the word choice, that means I can choose to be happy or not, and that it's work, meaning it's all about me, my attitude, my choice, my perspective. If I can work on this, then I can be happy even when life isn't necessarily going as well as I'd like.
Right. Well, you know, honestly, the word happiness isn't really an appropriate translation of the word simcha, although it's been translated that way. You know, maybe we could translate it as joy, but what then would be the difference between simcha, happiness, versus joy? Now, happiness is appropriately, the word is exactly right on for what I think people expect it to be. It's something that happens. It's a happiness. It happens, and if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. And I think a lot of people see happiness, and maybe that's what it is. It's something that you got to get lucky, and if you win the lottery, you're happy. If you lose the lottery or you lose your money, you're sad. And your life is really a slave to the events that happen to you, and you're waiting for happiness to happen. In our books, the word simcha, Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, serve Hashem with simcha, means this is a choice. You have a choice, and maybe we would maybe use the word joy instead, but I don't know if there's an English word that really does justice to what the Hebrew word simcha means. Because in our tradition, a person, you know, there's a story about a rabbi, it's a true story about a rabbi who got some really terrible news. And in our tradition, there is a bracha, there's a blessing that we make when we hear good news and a blessing that we make when we hear bad news. And before he made that blessing on the bad news, he really meditated and meditated until, you know, quite a while, until he finally said the blessing. And his student asked him, you know, like, why did you need to meditate so long to make that blessing? And he said, well, I wanted to make the blessing b'simcha. And well, what could that have possibly meant? Because surely, well, he's supposed to be happy. He just heard bad news. And so in our understanding of simcha, simcha isn't a mood. It's an immersion. You know, for us to be in simcha means I am fully immersed and fully present in what I'm doing. It's an interesting thing because I think we all actually feel a greater sense of joy when we're immersed in what we're doing, when we tend to allow our minds to kind of like wander. I know, for instance, myself, I feel a lot of simcha, let's call it joy, when I teach. Now, that's because I have to be completely in my teaching. My mind can't start wandering. I can't start thinking about this problem or that problem or whatever. It's like when we're really present with what we're doing, we're really immersed in what we're doing, then time seems to disappear. And we are so present that is really what Judaism would describe as simcha, to really be present in what you're doing and to really be immersed in the life moment. And sometimes, you know, you can have a soldier and he's on the border and he's, you know, he's crouching in mud, you know, protecting his people. At that moment, it's certainly not comfortable. And I wouldn't say that in his heart he's feeling, you know, this kind of happy and he's singing a little tune. But I think deeper in his heart, he's feeling this sense of joy that he's fully immersed in what he's doing and he knows why he's doing it and he knows it's a good thing to be doing. Even though right that moment, I don't think he's smiling and I don't think he's, you know, feeling, you know, even relaxed. I'm sure there's an anxiety there on the border and yet he's immersed. And he believes in what he's doing, and he knows what he's doing is right and significant. And that's really what simcha is.
Hmm. So in that regard, it's such an important, really, that we understand what simcha truly is, because I think a lot of times we're chasing after something that it's not. And at the end of the day, this deeper kind of joy in life, this simcha, this being present in what it is that we're doing, it creates what I say is purpose and meaning in life. And I think we all can understand that a true sense of purpose and meaning is really what gives us a long-lasting, deeper inner joy. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Liora Mandel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Liora Mandel talking with Rabbi David Aaron about simcha, what it is. And just before the end of the break, the definition, and it isn't really a word that can just be a translation. It's more of a concept, I would say, from what you're explaining, that we have to understand to really know what simcha truly is. And I think simcha is not what we often think it is, because we'll translate it as happiness. And the way we understand happiness is, like, I'd say, feeling good. And what you're explaining is it's really about being present in what we're doing. I'd say also sometimes that can be in a challenging situation. We can still have a sense of simcha because we have a sense of purpose and mission. And understanding what simcha is in that regards really totally changes what it is that we're trying to achieve. And we can also see how we do have more control over that. But it's not just a feeling. Well, what do? I don't feel that way. It's more of a state of being that we can choose to try to enter and work on entering and staying in.
Yes. You know, and for us, simcha is this emotion that it emerges out of being immersed, engaged, alive with what I'm doing. And again, alive with what I'm doing, I mean, I've shared this before, but when my parents passed away, and in Jewish tradition, there's a period of mourning of 7 days. People come and visit you. It's a very intense time. I was in so much pain and so incredibly sad. And yet there was this deep sense of simcha, this deep sense of joy, that I knew how to be sad and that I knew I had a way to immerse myself in my grief and release my grief. So I wasn't smiling and I wasn't singing a tune and dancing. I was crying. I was mourning. I was grieving. And yet a person can be immersed in that and appreciate the value of that. And deep in their heart, they feel a joy in knowing how to feel sad. And it's hard to describe. But I think this is so much more of a realistic way of looking at our lives, because most people have this attitude that, you know, that happiness is, you know, you're smiling and you're in a happy, great mood and everything's going wonderful and things are happening for you. That just doesn't happen for a lot of people for a good part of their lives, you know? And so what does that mean? All those times that we're down or we're struggling or we're coping or we're, you know, so what happened? And so that's why we need to develop or understand, appreciate more what Judaism means when it says simcha. And unfortunately, it's being translated as happiness. It'd probably be better translated joy, but still, most people understand joy as a person is, you know, and certainly they wouldn't identify that with someone in a moment of grieving. And yet in our tradition, when you're immersed and you're alive with what you're doing and you understand the significance of what you're doing, and there's this sense of meaning to it, then deep, deep, deep in your heart is what we would call simcha. Even if you're not smiling, you're not dancing, You're doing something more important. You are living your life in the present. You are fully alive right now.
So the way you're explaining this shows how even in a challenging and painful situation, a person can still attain a state of simcha. But then especially even in a what could be a joyful situation, a happy situation, there's so many times that we're not really living immersed in where we're at. There's so many times even when we can be going through a joyful experience, it's like it can just pass right by us and we're not really immersed in it. So it's even that is teaches us the state we're trying to achieve in good times too, not just in challenging times. Because again, there's so many times we can be having the more surface feeling of happiness, but not really integrated with what simcha really is.
Right. I once heard a class, and I wish I remember the source, but he was quoting some Greek story about a fellow who was madly in love with a woman, and he just obsessed and dreamt and thought about her. And anticipated what he would say and what he would do when he sees her. And she walks by him in the street, but he doesn't know and he doesn't notice her because he was so obsessed and immersed in his fantasies of seeing her that he missed her. Mm. And I know maybe one of our listeners could send us in what exactly is that source. But I remember thinking, wow, that's so true. You know, sometimes we are so much thinking about life and anticipating what it could be while all those moments of real life are passing by us because we're immersed in our thinking rather than our living it. I think, unfortunately, it was kind of a funny situation. I recently was invited to speak at a very large conference. And, I was on this big stage and behind me was this big screen. There was maybe 600 people in the auditorium, and I noticed something very funny, which is that even the people in the front row weren't looking at me, but looking at the screen. And I thought, well, that's so bizarre. I mean, I can understand maybe someone in the back of the room or in the middle of the room, they can't see the speaker so well, so they look at the screen. But I noticed that the people even in the front row weren't looking at me. They were looking at my virtual image on the screen behind me. It was big. And it gave me a sense of what life is. We're so kind of caught up in a virtual reality when the real deal's in front of you and you're somehow more drawn to what's virtual.
Wow, that's so powerful. And that really hits me because this past week my daughter had a very big celebration. She received her siddur. They were learning how to read, and they're at that stage where now they can actually read the prayers from the prayer book, and they made a very big celebration. And of course, I want to capture it. So I have my, video camera and my camera, and I'm taking videos, and I realize the same feeling. I feel like I'm not really there, because even though I'm there, I'm so focused on trying to capture the experience of being there so we can see it afterwards that I'm not really immersed in it. And I gave the video camera to another daughter, and I realized it was such a different feeling of trying to capture the experience as opposed to really letting myself be there. And I think this is a challenge that we have today, that so often we're trying to capture experiences and therefore we're not really in them.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that at the airport when I come out of arrivals and people are anxiously waiting for their beloved. And rather than just spontaneously hug them, the first thing they want to do is get a picture of this moment. But you get this picture of the moment, I don't know how often you're actually going to look at that picture again, rather than just be in that moment and let it just go inside your heart. But people are so excited to get the picture and put it on Instagram or put it on Facebook rather than put it in your heart.
And this is, I think, a big challenge of our times, is that there's so many, we really have to make the choice. I want to experience life, not just virtual experiences, but real experiences. And it's a lot more work to really put ourselves in experiences rather than just being so busy trying to capture them or go from one thing to another, to really actually be where we're at and let the experience seep in.
Well, one of the things I've noticed in some of my students, people are very afraid of their emotions because we don't have control of our emotions. And we very much want to be in control, so we kind of stay in our heads. But if we stay in our heads, then an important part of what it means to feel life. You can only think about life. It's interesting, even the word, we think about something, but we feel it. So when you think about something, there's this distance. You don't connect with it. You kind of stand at a distance of it and observe it. But when you feel it, there's like this connection. And I think people are afraid to feel sometimes, and they just want to kind of think about it or take a picture of it, but not really feel it. And I think this goes back to the deeper understanding of what it means in Judaism to serve God with simcha. You know, there's two ways of understanding it, by the way. Serve God with simcha could either mean that when I do a mitzvah, when I do a commandment, when I light the Shabbat candles, I should do it with simcha, with this sense of joy. But another understanding of it is not simply that you should do commandments and accompany it with a feeling of joy, but that your entire service of God is to be in joy. That's what it means. Serve God with joy. That's how you should serve God. Serve God not, you know, adding joy to what you're serving him in, but rather their service is the service of joy. And what would that mean? What would it mean to serve God with joy? What does that mean? And since God is the source of life and God is manifest in life, then the way I serve God and become a channel for God's presence into the world, which is the presence of life, is I've got to be immersed in life. And I've got to be connected to being alive. And I don't know, you kind of see it on people's faces. You know, kind of see it in the way people move. Are they alive? Are they vital? Are they energetic? Or are they kind of just kind of tired out and going through the emotions, going through the motions without feeling, without allowing the emotions to go through them? And that's it. Are you going through the motions, or are you letting the emotions go through you?
And so much of this is also about human connection. And I think this month that we're going through is all about, you said earlier on, increasing the joy in other people's lives too. And I think today we can all understand that there's, you know, we can have 1,000 friends on Facebook and yet we can feel very lonely, because there sometimes the virtual connection to someone else does not at all replace true connection to somebody else, meaningful connection, deep connection. And in order to do that, you're saying, what you're saying is so true about connecting to our emotions. We have to really be able to connect to others in an emotional place. We have to be able to share ourselves with other people in that kind of way. And when we can truly do that and have those real deeper connections, we really do feel a sense of joy in our lives. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Soul Talk. Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron, talking about what happiness truly is, especially this time of year where we're told to increase our simcha. I feel like I shouldn't even call it happiness, because it's a different understanding completely than what simcha really truly is about. This is a month where we really increase our simcha. are really, we want to immerse ourselves then more in this month. And that's a question too, because on the one hand, we're supposed to always have a sense of simcha when we're serving God, as you were explaining. But we're told to increase it this month. So why is it specifically now, this idea that there's always certain a baseline of living our lives with this sense of meaning and purpose and immersion? But this month in particular, we want to increase that, you know, really up it.
Well, again, it's clearly connected to the holiday of Purim. Purim is considered to be even higher than, you know, from a Kabbalistic point of view, even higher than the holiday of Yom Kippurim. The holiday of Yom Kippurim, which is considered to be the highest of the highest, it's actually in Hebrew Kippurim, which means it's a day like Purim, but it's not. But it's not Purim. In other words, Purim is even higher than that. That's unbelievable. And I think the nature of the simcha that is being made available on Purim is so great that in order to be ready for it, we have to already begin to increase for each other and promote simcha in the community and to be receptive to the simcha that's going to be made available on that day.
And as you're saying that, I'm also thinking there's a tremendous truth is that I think a certain amount of simcha, or there's a tremendous simcha that can be achieved when we focus on other people. Meaning there's an aspect of immersing ourselves in experiences that we're in that really enable us to feel the joy of what's going on in our lives. But there's also that aspect of the more we do for other people, the more we look outside of ourselves, the more we think about others, that often adds a tremendous amount of joy and blessing to our own lives. That's very
well. We are social creatures, and according to Kabbalah, in the deepest sense, we are one soul. Our bodies, you know, this is actually taught by the Bala Tanya and the famous Hasidic work of Lubavitch, the Tanya, chapter 32. The Bala Tanya, the author of the Tanya, Shneur Zalman Eladi, says that really, in the deepest sense, we are one soul, but what separates us or gives off this feeling that we're separate is our bodies. So in our bodies, we are separate, but in our souls, we actually share one soul. And so I think when a person, you know, feels joy, then that's the joy they're feeling, is coming into contact with who they really are as part of a greater self.
But that point is the greater self is that I'm not just one little peg here, that we're all interconnected to each other. So there is this expansion, I would almost imagine, that we'd say we'd feel is when we do connect to others, not just focusing on ourselves. It's really interesting. I'm just thinking about this. Unfortunately, my brother right now is in the hospital with his daughter. And I was speaking to him before yesterday, and I was asking, how are you doing? You know, what's going on? How are you managing? And he said, you know, it's really interesting. I thought I was going to be really depressed being in a children's ward in a hospital. How could it not be depressing? But he said, but somehow there's such joy here because all day people keep coming and are trying to do everything they can to make these children happy. He said someone came and played music, and someone came out and gave presents, and someone came and did some sort of a show. And these aren't people necessarily being paid. And there was a clown that came by. These are volunteers that are coming to try to uplift everyone's mood. And it was fascinating to hear, as he's saying, it's true, a situation that really in and of itself could have been depressing. He was actually feeling, and he sounded like he was really on a high. He was so uplifted by the care and the giving and the thought. He was on the receiving end of the thoughtfulness of other people, that it actually really created a sense of joy instead of depression with the situation.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Listen, when you're doing what's right, you'll feel good. You'll feel happy. You know, if you're in an environment that's promoting unity, then it warms your heart and you feel that joy.
So then in the sense that is part of what the increased joy of this month is about, obviously there's that aspect of that for ourselves, we really want to immerse ourselves in the opportunities that this month holds and the mindsets and the experiences. But there's also that aspect of reaching out to others, even more so possibly right now than maybe other times, more conscious of it. And that in and of itself also increases the joy that we have in our lives.
Right, exactly.
But so much of this is a mindset, because I think, as you were saying before, the attitude, the mindset, the understanding of faith of God, if I'm just sort of going through life without consciously thinking about what is it that simcha is, what is it that truly brings joy to my life, then I can completely miss the boat. And sometimes it's like these stories of you're so busy chasing it, that like your story, that when it's there, you miss it completely because it's something that you're trying to achieve. But really, it actually is completely right in front of us. It's just, as you said before, it's a choice we have to make. Add before that an understanding, because everything you're explaining here, I think, is so important. In order to make the proper choice, we have to understand what simcha really is, make that choice, and work on it.
Yeah, and that work is to learn to be present, to really be into what you're doing. You know, it says, "Behold, derechecha dehu," you know, in all your ways, know God, and Rav Kook says, be in the way that you are, and you will know God. If you're now walking, then be into your walking. You know, I remember I was at someone's home, and over top of their sink, they had a bumper sticker that said, "I'd rather be learning Torah." And I thought, well, that's really wrong, because if right now you're supposed to be doing the dishes, then you shouldn't say that, because then you've become dichotomized and you've become fragmented. You're doing the dishes, but your head is saying, "Oh, I wish I could be doing something else." In our tradition, you meet God, and you'll feel that joy, right, when you're immersed in what you're doing. If this is what you're supposed to be doing, then immerse yourself and fully give yourself over to what you're doing right now. If right now you're with your kids, then be with your kids, you know. But it drives me crazy when I go to the playground and I see kids playing and I see their parents looking at their smartphones. And they're just not there with their children. They're kind of like just, I don't know, just making sure that if something, God forbid, happens, they'll be there. But something is happening. You know, your kid is looking for attention and looking for involvement. And you're doing something else. And so there's a time to check your emails. And there's a time to be with your loved ones. And don't confuse these times. Because I think that's what's really destroying so much of a good life, is I'm not alive. I'm here, but my mind is there. You know, I'm with this person, but I'm thinking about that person. And I'm not present. I'm not living my life. And life only is now. The past is a memory, and the future is a speculation. The only time we're really, really, really alive is now. And so the ingredient for simcha is to be present, fully present in what you're doing.
And that's why that last part that you said, that it takes, after the choice, it takes work. That is the lifelong commitment. And it is a lifelong journey of working on this, because I think we live in a world where there's so many distractions. It's so easy to just be completely taken away from what really is important and being in the present and being in the moment. And it really takes a tremendous amount of work to really be where we need to be, and knowing what the time is for each thing, and really being present when we need to be present. But recognizing that it takes work is also important, because I think if we're just on default, then we just end up, our lives are taken over by our cell phones and by our work and by other people who need us, instead of really prioritizing and consciously saying, as you were saying, right now I'm with my child. I really want to actually be with my child, not just like a shell of a person with them, but distracted and somewhere else, but really be here.
Well, I just think it's crazy. You know, if you're in a restaurant, you can sometimes see a couple sitting there and there's this candle lighting and they're both looking at their phones. Like, this is an opportunity. You're having, hopefully, a romantic dinner together. You're going out to a, you know, a nice restaurant to share time together. And you're looking at your phones. And this is really has become a plague, because that distraction's in our pocket. And there's so much going around that is calling for my attention. But all this is destroying real relationships. And people are not really facing each other because they're communicating through Facebook. And we're in a world that's become faceless because we're just not there with each other.
So at the end of the day, if we could really, instead of trying to live in virtual worlds, enter the real world and really live in the real world, we would be much, we would have a much greater sense of joy, of simcha in our lives. And it really comes down to what you said earlier, and this is so important, is that happiness isn't just when, you know, something that can happen to me, and if things don't go well, then how could I ever be happy? Happiness is a choice, and especially the way you're explaining it, joy, being in a moment, being in an experience, even if it's an unpleasant experience, but really being there, being immersed in it, trying to find a sense of meaning and purpose in it, then I think it's actually very freeing to know that I can be in a state of happiness no matter where I am, no matter what's going on in my life. It's obviously I'd rather be more immersed in positive experiences, but life is a conglomerate of positive and challenging experiences, just how it is. But it's within my control to be in a state of simcha no matter what life brings. And I think that is actually a very, very freeing and uplifting understanding, but recognize that it does take, it's a choice we have to make, and it takes work. But that's part of what we're here for, is to find the joy, find the simcha in every aspect of our lives, really integrate it, and really live within it. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.